First is the Week in Washington, where we catch up on some of the week's top stories in national politics. Among the stories this week, on Labor Day, Wisconsin received visits from both Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris. With 54 days left, we'll check in on the state of the presidential election. I want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you participated in any campaign stops from either of the campaigns? Does it matter for you if we get in-person visits from the candidates here in Wisconsin? Do you want to see your candidate, whoever that might be, come to the state? And if you don't have a candidate yet, does it matter to you if we get that visit? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Turkle is the Washington Bureau Chief at HuffPost. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with some new news out today. Bob Woodward's forthcoming book includes a couple conversations with President Trump, where he admits to knowingly playing down the significance of the coronavirus pandemic publicly in February and March. Some recordings out of Woodward's interviews with the president. What has been the reaction to that so far?
Well, you know, it depends on who you're talking to. If you are talking to Republican senators on the Hill, they're saying, you know, we're not shocked by this at all. There's nothing wrong with Trump doing this. He's a positive person. He didn't want to make people panic. I think the reaction from, you know, a lot of journalists, a lot of pundits, you know, has been a little bit more surprised, because, you know, Trump was telling everyone at the time publicly that the coronavirus isn't that serious. He was comparing it to the seasonal flu. And he was really trying to make people believe that it was no big deal. I remember him saying that it would be gone by April. It would be gone when the warmer weather kicked in. And here you have him saying that he knows this is very deadly and this is very serious. And, you know, it's not just a matter of the president lying or the president saying one thing in private and in public. You know, there's a large, number of people in the public who really do listen to him. And if he had said, this is serious, you need to wear a mask, you need to stay home or something like that, you know, how many lives would have been saved, and would people be behaving differently, and would the pandemic be more under control if Trump had conveyed that he too thinks it's serious?
We'll be talking more about that on the Ideas Network in the days to come. But one expectation, I think, at this point is it won't be long before we see Biden campaign ads or anti-Trump independent groups having audio back to back of the president talking to Woodward and the president talking in public. Do you see this likely to be a campaign theme for the Biden campaign?
Oh, absolutely. You already saw the Lincoln Project, which are a group of sort of disaffected Republicans who have been making quite a few videos and ads, you know, sort of hitting Trump. They already put up something on Twitter comparing what the president said with his White House press secretary recently saying, you know, no, Trump has never downplayed this. He's never downplayed it at all. And then you also had Biden himself today talk about it during his stop in Michigan, saying that he willingly lied and purposely played down the coronavirus. So absolutely, I think Democrats and Trump's opponents will be doing this quite a bit more.
We'll keep watching for developments on that. Also this week, the Justice Department announced yesterday that its lawyers would represent the president in a defamation case brought against him by columnist E. Jean Carroll. Can you give us the background leading up to this decision?
So E. Jean Carroll says that Trump raped her decades ago in a department store. And in 2019, in interviews, Trump denied raping her, and she sued him for defamation. The case, you know, I can't stress how unusual it is what's going on here. The Justice Department has decided to intervene and try to move the case to federal court out of state court. And they are essentially saying that because Trump made these comments that he's being sued over when he was president, it's not a matter of him being a personal citizen. It's a U.S. government issue. And so if there are any damages now in this case, if E. Jean Carroll wins, for example, taxpayers are going to be on the hook. And so this is happening now, right as the case seemed that it was going to be moving forward, perhaps to get DNA or evidence gathering. And what this move does is it slows the process down again. And so it seems to protect Trump. Underlying all of this is the fact that Attorney General William Barr has shown himself to be the protector that Trump has always wanted. Trump was furious when Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation, saying, "You were supposed to protect me." He always, you know, said he thought JFK was so lucky because his brother, you know, was the attorney general and could protect him from anything. He thought Eric Holder did that for Obama. And so Trump has finally found his guy in Bill Barr, who has shown that he's willing to contort the Justice Department to protect the president.
We're looking at the top stories in national politics. Amanda Turkle is with us from HuffPost. She's Washington Bureau Chief there. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We're going to turn to the presidential race and candidate visits to Wisconsin now. Let us know if you have attended an event with one of the candidates, if you would, if given the opportunity, if it's important to you that candidates for president, vice president, or key players in their campaign show up here in the state. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Feels like the election campaign's already gone on basically forever, but Labor Day is kind of noted as the kickoff day for the home stretch, and we got visits from both vice presidential candidates. I want to give a listen, first of all, to Vice President Mike Pence and his visit to Wisconsin on Labor Day.
And when this president stands up every day and fights for American workers and jobs, 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 we stand with President Donald Trump.
And Senator Harris, the Democratic candidate, also focused on jobs and the economy. Here's a little bit of what she had to say in the state.
To small businesses throughout our country, including here in Milwaukee, that we see you, we understand the significance of what you are in terms of the health and well-being of communities, and we see the benefit to the entire country to invest in our small businesses.
How big a deal, Amanda, are those in-person campaign stops, especially in a weird year like 2020?
You know, honestly, it's yet to be seen. It seems like, you know, it seemed like they were hurting Trump for a while because he was having these rallies, and the news out of them was the fact that people were getting coronavirus from them. And there were all these people not wearing masks, not socially distancing, and that a lot of people weren't showing up to these rallies that Trump promised would be, you know, gigantic. And so Biden really benefited from sitting back and letting Trump sort of dominate the news cycle and that and get the bad press. But a lot of Democrats started to get worried that that wasn't going to be enough going into the home stretch, that Biden really did need to get out there. And so you are seeing Biden and Kamala Harris start to campaign, but they still look very, very different from what Pence and Trump are doing. Pence and Trump tend to, again, have bigger events. Maybe people are wearing masks, maybe not. There isn't a lot of social distancing. Whereas what Biden and Harris are trying to be sort of more careful and stay on message about what they believe should be done with the coronavirus. They're smaller, they're more distanced, they're not the sort of bigger gatherings that you're seeing on the Republican side. And they're hoping that, you know, they can get more press by having folks out there. And that, you know, they're just finally simply getting a chance to interact with voters more, you know, in the limited way that they can.
It is interesting, though, the energy of talking in front of a, you know, group of applauding people is different than the energy of applauding or, you know, talking in front of a camera or a very small group in a more controlled environment. I mean, there's no way to know really what impact it's going to have. Is that something that you're seeing, though, in what ends up in the news from both campaigns?
Yeah. And, you know, the convention seemed like they were going to be a real test of that. You know, I think of the State of the Union response every year, which honestly, a lot of times is just excruciating to watch. They're very awkward, whether it's a Democratic politician or a Republican politician. It's just very weird. But it seems like the folks did a little better this time at the conventions. And I would say especially Biden, talking in sort of an intimate, emotional way, directly to the camera, especially because he addressed people who had lost loved ones due to the coronavirus, actually worked very, very well for him. And it was a speech I think he might not have given as well if he were speaking in front of a larger crowd. you know, Biden chose Kamala Harris. He was considering some other people who weren't quite as experienced at sort of big campaign events and national campaigning. But obviously, Kamala Harris ran her own presidential campaign. So going out and doing these stops and doing these speeches is something she's good at. And so, she is being deployed, especially to reach out to communities of color to, you know, make sure that they come out to vote for the Democratic ticket.
I always like to ask our national reporters how important Wisconsin is. We're seeing visits by both campaigns. Another poll out today showing Biden with a 4-ish% lead over the president. That's pretty consistent. I assume Democrats are not assuming they can take Wisconsin to the bank based on what happened last time around. How important do you see Wisconsin in this campaign?
Incredibly important, as always. As someone who's been to Wisconsin, you know, many, many cycles, it was gearing up to be important already because of the economic issues, you know, Trump's trade policies and things like that. But then with what you have, with what happened in Kenosha, it has this added element, which is why you saw Harris go and, you know, sort of discuss the racial justice, protests. She, you know, talked by phone with Jacob Blake, who was, you know, shot in the back by an officer on August 23rd. And then you have on the Republican side, Republicans also feel like Wisconsin is central to their message because they are trying to draw attention to, you know, the violence, the looting, things like that, that they say Democrats will allow to, you know, take over the suburbs and threaten the livelihoods, basically, of white suburbanites. And they believe that there will be enough people who are sort of nervous about what's going on, that they'll vote for the Republican ticket, and that their message that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are socialists who will let mobs run wild will take hold. So Wisconsin, you know, has all these facets that are central to both campaigns' messages.
We're talking to Amanda Turkle about the latest news from the nation's capital. She's Washington bureau chief at HuffPost. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you watching for in the last couple months of the presidential race? Do Wisconsin campaign stops influence your vote? Do you listen to the candidates' speeches? Call 800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in on that. Also, we'll get to another possibility of action on another COVID-19 economic relief package. That's coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's the Week in Washington, our weekly look at the latest news in national politics. We continue our talk with Amanda Turkle, Washington bureau chief at HuffPost. Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Joe on the line in Star Lake. Joe, hi.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Quick thought. My wife brought this up. Of course, the Woodward book has come out and the recordings and so forth. And given the timing and everything that people now are beginning to understand, I'm wondering whether we might see civil suits from families that have suffered from this virus coming forward against the president personally.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I don't know about the legality there, Amanda, but could we see people taking action on this, or is it going to be a significant campaign issue here in Wisconsin?
About a lawsuit, honestly, I don't know whether we'll see that or what the legality would be, like you said. You know, in terms of it affecting the campaign, you know, I expect just this past week alone has had so many huge stories between this, the stories about Trump saying that people who serve in the military and are captured or who lose their lives are losers and suckers and not wanting, you know, veterans with disabilities to be in military parades because nobody wants to see that. You know, these are big stories coming out. A lot of people are shrugging their shoulders and saying, this is nothing new. We know this about Trump. But, you know, they're being backed up by Fox News, you know, Trump's favorite outlet. He's on audio with these latest coronavirus remarks. And so I think we are going to be seeing more and more stories like this come out, these sort of big stories. And, you know, I right now the public is very polarized. People made up their minds pretty early, but there is still that small segment that both sides are fighting for. And so, you know, we'll see whether these affect, you know, that segment and who they vote for.
Thanks a lot for that call, Joe, at 800-642-1234. Want to talk to this kind of evergreen topic over the last few months, Amanda. I think we've talked to you about it in the past. Is there going to be another COVID-19 economic relief package coming through Congress? Some action in the Senate, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily going to go far. What are we seeing there?
Right. I don't think far. And Democrats have tried a few times. And what McConnell is now proposing is a very small, slimmed down package, about $500 billion, which, you know, may seem like a lot, but Democrats have tried for $3 trillion. And even McConnell in July released a bill that was $1 trillion, but they just haven't been able to go anywhere. Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, said that there's no way they're going to accept this $500 billion bill. It's not big enough. And it just has, provisions that Democrats oppose, such as a liability shield for businesses to protect them from certain lawsuits tied because of the coronavirus. It's not even clear, too, whether this bill can get enough Republicans. Because there's some Republicans say that they are now concerned about the deficit. There's a provision in there about tax credits for homeschooling. So honestly, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but McConnell is hoping that there are some moderate and conservative Democrats in tough reelections who put pressure on Pelosi and maybe try to work out some compromise or press her into accepting what McConnell is offering. And remember, McConnell himself is in a tough reelection race, so he needs to also perhaps show that he's doing something on this.
Talking to Amanda Turkel from HuffPost, Washington bureau chief there, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Another one now, allegations that the current Postmaster General Louis DeJoy broke campaign finance laws. What do we know about the allegations?
So basically, DeJoy did not get his job because he knows a lot about the Postal Service or anything like that. He got his job because he was a major Republican donor. And so the latest allegations are that, his company in North Carolina, basically over the years, he told his employees, you should donate to these Republican candidates. And then he gave those people bigger bonuses. And if that's what happened, you donate $1,000 and then you get $1,000 bonus from DeJoy, just coincidentally, and it's a bigger bonus than anyone else got, and it happens to exactly match the amount of money you gave, that's illegal. Those are known as straw donations. You cannot sort of skirt around campaign finance rules by paying someone else to give a donation. And so if that's what he did, that is illegal. He was asked about this recently before the Washington Post story about this came out by Congressman Jim Cooper.
Yeah, I want to give a list of that. We actually have that, Amanda, that exchange. Here's Representative Jim Cooper. You queued it up for us, and Postmaster General DeJoy.
Did you pay back several of your top executives for contributing to Trump's campaign by bonusing or rewarding them?
That's an outrageous claim, sir, and I resent it.
I'm just asking a question.
The answer is no.
So you did not bonus or reward any of your executives?
No. No.
Anyone that you solicited for a contribution to the Trump campaign?
No, sir.
So now we have the Washington Post saying that staff at his company said he did exactly those things. And some in Congress, some Democrats have said that means he may have given false testimony to Congress as well.
Yeah, and House Democrats say they're now investigating this. And, they say he could face criminal exposure, not only for the donations, but then for lying to the committee under oath. And they're encouraging the Postal Service Board of Governors to immediately suspend him, which they're not going to do because it's run by Republicans. But this is another problem for DeJoy, who has had a rocky tenure at the Postal Service, to say the least.
Well, the news fire hose is on full blast this week and today. Amanda, what are you watching for next in our last minute?
I am watching to see how Trump gets himself out of this coronavirus, these coronavirus comments, and, tries to spin them. He's already saying that he didn't lie. He's just an upbeat person, but we'll see the fallout from these.
Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Been talking to Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief at HuffPost. She joined us for a weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics. You can follow more of the latest on these stories and more at WPR.org. State coverage there. And you can find stories from reporters at NPR as well on the latest in national news.